Deetra Lee, age 55, June 19th, 2013, San Diego, California. I'm the mom.
And my name is Murray Barnett. I'm 26. Today's date is June 19th, 2013, in San Diego, California. And I'm the son.
One of the questions that I've always wanted to ask you is, why did you choose to go into the military during wartime?
Something I always wanted to do. Just reading those military books, and it seemed like the right choice, and it seemed exciting, and I wasn't really doing anything besides skateboarding, so just kind of do something different.
Did you, when you did your research on the military books, did you find anything on Pop? Was that something of an influence on you?
Yeah, my dad and Pop, and then just the books.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to do anything else but that?
The military?
Mm-hmm.
At that moment in time, that's the military.
Just the military?
Once I got in, I started discovering other things I wanted to do, but the military was always on the forefront.
Was the military influence you on playing jazz guitar?
No, I got that right when I got out. I got into jazz.
Got into jazz.
Music, well, I got into because of Sean right before the military.
When you went into the military, and I know that you had some issues with friendship, how was the experience with the band of brothers that you formed, and how is that friendship current today?
Issue with the friendship? What issues?
You were saying that some of the friends that you was in your troop was not friends, and I was trying to explain to you that not everybody was your friend. And
in
so
boot camp or when in?
Yeah, I think it was more in boot camp. But once you got past boot camp.
Well, it's because it's competitive and it's all these different personalities in one squad bay where we all sleep, you know, all from all walks of life. Now you're all on top of each other and you have to work together. So it's always going to be clashing and that kind of thing.
So what is your experience with your band of brothers when you went over to, what was your first tour?
Since Al-Qaim on the Syrian border in Al Anbar province.
So how was it, your experience with those troops?
It was good. I had no issues with anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you're in that situation, you kind of put any differences you would have, you put them aside. But nobody's really confrontational. There would be some little arguments, but nothing serious.
So when you was over there, what were some of the titles, military titles that you had?
Me?
Yeah.
I was point man for both deployments. So I would walk. So if we would patrol, and we would patrol with maybe like 8 or 9 guys, I would always be the first one. So I'll have the map, and I'll like pathfind throughout the city, just because I can remember how the map looked, and I can remember the building. So I knew I can walk without looking at the map, and I knew where I was. And I don't know, I was maybe fearless, or that's something I want to do.
How did you view your life after you had that experience? How did you view life, not your life, but life, when you had that experience, when you had to, you know, with that situation? I don't know if I could say it, but okay. How did you view life after you had that experience of killing that person?
I viewed it the same. I mean, it's a job. I mean, I didn't really think too much about it because, to tell you the truth, I was kind of excited afterwards. And then after I started thinking about it, is this, you know, taking human life is, I don't know, it's hard to really describe the feeling. Mm-hmm. But you get over it.
Has it changed your life in a way that you view life?
Life? Yeah, I guess a little bit. It's more precious. Is this... I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Okay. What are some of the happiest moments in your life?
Military speaking or is it in life?
Personal. Let's start with personal. Living with mom.
Happy experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with finishing boot camp was happy. Just to get that done. You know, mm-hmm. A big accomplishment. Mostly this small things, like that skateboard competition I won a while back.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Actually finding out what I want to do with my life, music-wise, that was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about that question. Just sprinkled throughout.
So what are some of the saddest moments in your life?
Saddest? Mm-hmm. Granddaddy died. Mm-hmm. When grandma died. Mm-hmm. When Corporal Allen died. Mm-hmm. What's another one? I don't have any too many sad moments.
So how do you feel about your mom?
I feel good.
So tell me something about our experience together while you was going through the transition of the military that really allowed you to see.
I remember one time you called the drill instructor. Mm-hmm. What was it, ice cream?
Mm-hmm. 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 That was a good time or a bad time? Well, we want to share that story?
If you want.
Okay. Well, what happened was I love Paws and Dolls ice cream, and my son was going through some transitional changes in his behavior. And I brought 3 boxes of Paws and Dolls ice cream, and I said, you could have 2 and I could have 1. But he ate all 3. And because he ate all 3, I called his command officer. And then his command officer, he left his cell phone with me, and he had with that little thing is inside the cell phone. And so I had all his contacts. So I kept calling until I got a live body. Mm. And when I got the live body, it happened to be a lieutenant commander, somebody high up. And so I shared the story with him, and I told him that he needs to bring me back my Haas and Dye ice cream. So now you could take what happened when he called you in front of everybody.
No, he didn't call me in front of everybody. He called me to his office.
And he called you to his office.
He's like, why is your mom calling so-and-so about ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think I really got in trouble. He's more so this, I don't know, he's just bewildered that somebody's mom will call by ice cream. Then he kind of left. He didn't really do too much. He kind of go away.
Mm. Well, when you got in the boot camp, and, you know, one of the first things they said, if he gives you any problem, he's ours, just call. So you was not paying attention to me. So I went on and called them, and they handled the situation. But you did come home with some ice cream, didn't you?
Didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Uh-huh. You came knocking on the door, and you had my box of Haas and Dolls, and I told you to put it in the refrigerator. And after that, that was into that one. So, yeah, that's one of the experiences that I thought was one of my saddest ones because you wasn't paying attention to me. So, so can you tell me about some of the other most important things that happened in your life during that time before you going into the military and during and after?
Important things?
Mm-hmm. Before.
I guess I've always been a tolerant person.
Mm-hmm.
I guess patience is one big thing. I always had patience, but I guess my patience level grew being in the military. And what was the question again?
Can you say one more time? Some of the most important things that happened in your life that was before the military and during
and
after.
Before. Just following through with something, like the responsibility of actually joining and getting what I want and, following through a boot camp, because it is a big deal. And you hear stories about boot camp, but nothing really prepares you, you know. And just following through was like a big deal for me.
So what happened during that time? What was important to you during the boot camp experience?
During? Just finishing doing my best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after?
After Minx, you see a lot of, okay, what happens is a lot of times people get in boot camp and they're really motivated to have the military experience. They get to the military, and then once they realize it isn't what they expect, or they get a little complacent, and then the fire kind of dies out, and then their performance dies out.
Because
the military is competitive. You got to compete for rank. You got to compete for a certain position, you know. Mm-hmm. And when some people find out you got to compete all the time, they like, okay, well, I know if I just stay under the radar, I won't necessarily get promoted, but I'm not gonna get. I can just coast my way through.
I'm not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose to get out?
Me?
Yeah.
I wanted to do music. It was experience. It wasn't, I never thought, my intentions weren't for life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for something to do.
Just to go through it, to get the experience. Well, at least you found a way to go through the experience during wartime. So through that experience, through the wartime, what are some of the most important lessons you learned?
Compassion, not so much learned, just the way I view things now, like materialism, and you see how people live over there, and like the kids, and the stuff we complain about over here, it really has no, you see people living on dirt floors and are happy, but people get mad that their TV's broken over here, and like, you know, that's all they can complain about is this is broken and this is broken, or I don't have this nice car, or I don't have this kind of money. But on the other side of the world, people are just as, probably even happier, because, you know, they have their family around. They put their value in something else. Mm. That's one thing I kind of learned.
Mm. So, do you still have contact with that guy that was over there? You know that?
Oh, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
No, he called you that one time, but I haven't seen him talk to him since.
Oh, okay.
Ben's my interpreter. He called my mom, so gave him my phone number.
Yeah. So, have you been in contact with any other guys?
Christofferson, Oliver, yeah. Pretty much all of them.
Okay. So, what are you most proud of?
I finished and I made it through.
What are you most proud of today?
Today?
Mm-hmm. Not so much your accomplishment, just you as a person.
Just me. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I get complimented about my personality and that I'm a nice person, despite, you know, being, I guess people's thought if you're in the military, or especially being a Marine, that you're supposed to always be a Marine all the time. They change your personality, but I've always been the same.
Mm.
Me getting back home from my first tour and second tour, I'm pretty sure I changed a little bit, but not so much people didn't recognize me. I've always been me.
Mm. Mm. So what about, do you have any regrets?
Regrets?
Mm-hmm.
No.
None? Mm. Is there anything you never told me that you want to tell me now?
About what?
Anything. Anything.
No, I want to. There's nothing. You have to give you more specifics. I can tell you a lot of things that I haven't told you because it's not really relevant, you know.
Right. So let me ask you this: how do you feel about your sister not being a part of your military experience?
It's a little disappointing,
mm-hmm.
but it is what it is.
It is what it is, huh? What are you most afraid of?
Afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
I say maybe failure. We're not achieving something I really want to do, just because I'm kind of not so much lazy, I'm easily distracted. And so I jump around from stuff to stuff, and that kind of slows my progression.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest, I guess, fear is I'm going to keep doing that until it's going to be too late for whatever I'm trying to achieve at the time.
That's all the questions I have for you, son.
That's it?
That's it, yeah.
What about the list right there?
You want the whole list?
Well, you have 40 minutes.
I know. How many? I really didn't have too many about it because most of them I already know. What are some of the reasons why you joined? We already kind of talked mm-hmm. about that a little bit. Did you have any fears joining the military?
More so like a... I guess not fitting in.
What branch?
Marine Corps.
What was your title?
Infantry.
Mm. I remember when you first got into the military that you put physical at the end. How did you feel about that?
Physical
when you had to take that test.
Oh, the test?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a... just because I'm not going to join the military to become strong. That's like at least my goals of joining, you know, it isn't like I want to join the military to get muscle.
Mm.
It isn't the top of my, you know, it's not my a priority.
When you were deployed, how did you feel about going away from home for the first time on that one?
I was nervous, especially the only time I've only been on an airplane three times, to Texas and back, and especially leaving the country. It was exciting because I'm getting to see different countries, but it's still kind of like this is. I can never see home again kind of thing. This could be the last time I ever set foot here or see my parents or mom.
When you was first deployed, where did you go?
Al-Qaim.
What's that?
It's on the Syrian border. Mm-hmm. It's northern Iraq.
Okay. Mm. And the second time?
Fallujah.
And where is
that? Okay. El Anbar, I believe the whole province is northern Iraq, so it's above Baghdad. So Baghdad's the capital of Iraq, and I believe that's somewhere around the center. I'm just kind of guessing. I believe it's just one, if not the largest city, second largest city. Mm-hmm. Baghdad's the capital, so Fallujah might be the largest city.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's northern Iraq.
Mm-hmm. When you went over there, mm-hmm. what were some of the first thoughts you had when you land?
Where am I? You know, okay, I'll tell you the hope. When we first got there, you're on a charter plane, and you fly into Kuwait, the Kuwaiti airport. And then from Kuwait, I believe you stay in Kuwait for a couple of days, which is a big, 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 humongous base. Mm-hmm. And you stay there and you just kind of, they brief you about all the stuff you're going to be doing and they give you your mission. And then from there, you wait there and you probably sit outside for like, seem like 5-6 hours. Mm-hmm. The helicopters come in and it's, by that time it's nighttime because they don't want people seeing the helicopters, all the people getting off. So it's at nighttime. You get on the helicopter. And then you're riding across the whole country, and then you land. We land in small, I can't remember the name of the base, but you land there, and you get off, and then there you are. And then what's separated from you from the cities is just like, they're called HESCO barriers. Mm-hmm. And it's picture like a cardboard box type. It looks like a cardboard box, but it's a thin material. You just fill dirt, and they're about as tall as this trailer. Mm-hmm. And sandbags on top, and the other side of that is the whole city. And then you hear the dog barking, and you hear the cars driving by, and then that's when you know you're there.
You're there, uh-huh. Wow.
And then that night, I went on patrol for the first time.
Really? How was that experience?
Scary, because I was in the back. I was the last one. And then that night, we got in a standoff with the police, because they didn't recognize us. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the middle of the street, and they were both pointing guns at each other, until finally somebody recognized who we were looking at. Mm-hmm. And then I got back from patrol, and then I stood post until morning time by myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Overlooking the city. But Once as time goes by, it becomes just as routine as living out here. It's just another day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you went to bed that night, mm-hmm. and you woke up the next morning, what was your first thought?
I can't remember, but it's what you probably would imagine. Just, where am I? Like, getting used to the whole swing of things. It's a whole nother lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was it hard being away from home?
No.
No?
I'm pretty independent, you know.
I know, but, you know, being away from mom and...
I was ready.
Ready to be away from mom. Oh, that's cold. So tell me about some of your interactions with some of the people there.
I have nothing against... most people who I serve with, they hold, like, a stigma. Like, they think, you know, everybody's a terrorist, or it's like a blanket stereotype for everybody. Even though they can be hospitable and they can wave, you know, they call them like, yeah, how'd you this, how'd you that? Which, I'm not going to lie, I joined in, but I wasn't, it was just like a terminology, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like World War II, like Krauts for Germans. It's just like dehumanizing people just to make it easier. Mm. And, but underneath all that, I was never mean to people. Like, you know, you gave me crowns and drawing in the paper. Mm-hmm. I handed out to kids and candy and... Mm-hmm. I got well enough for some families that they'll invite us over for like food, or they'll give us tea or mm-hmm. stuff like that. But the people are really nice. I mean, it's just like any people go to work every day and come home, they just live in that kind of place where it's that kind of turmoil and, mm-hmm. you know, warring factions.
Now, what was your experience after you had your first experience being deployed and you went to the second one? Was it any difference? Did you feel like you had enough... experience on the first one to handle the second one?
The first one was more of a... first one was perfect introduction because nothing really happened. It was just like, here's Iraq, and then you know how to... It's, I always pictured the first one more so how to handle people and how to handle situations, mm-hmm. and how to get used to that lifestyle. Second one was more so like, you know... the second one was more, I guess, warlike. Mm-hmm. Just because of how... the history of Fallujah and just how big it is. When we first got there that night, they told us a month ago. Let me stop. Okay, mm-hmm. The base we went to Fallujah, and we had to guard this road. I believe it's called Wolverine, and it's you have the city of Fallujah, mm-hmm. to the north. If you go down south, picture one single dirt road down south. We're right in the middle of our base, mm-hmm. which is probably as big as this parking lot, which is about maybe, I say 300 by 300 feet, mm-hmm. super small, and it's mm-hmm. 20 guys in there, mm-hmm. 15, 20 guys. And then down a couple more miles was the actual main base. So we were the only guard post in between the city and the main base. Mm-hmm. And so all military traffic had to come down this road. Mm-hmm. And when we first got there, they had on each side of the dirt road, there was big, how would I say this? Like big burns, is that the way? Like berms? It's like a, picture two little small mountains of dirt, mm-hmm. maybe about like about 6 feet, 7 feet high. Enough for if I had to lay on the other side, I could hide. You couldn't see me. Mm-hmm. So about 2 months before we got there, they told us that somebody, three or four insurgents snuck over the berm, snuck inside the base, shot up the base, and then walked upstairs and shot somebody in the back of the head. And we got there. There was still blood on the ground and all that kind of stuff. And we had to stay there. And then that night, a bomb went off and blew up one of the trucks. And then 2 days later, when I was on post, a bomb went off maybe about 40 feet down the road.
When
so
you
that one was a lot more, I guess, in your face.
Yeah, I can imagine. When you came back, the first week home, matter of fact, the first week home or the first day home, what were some of your immediate thoughts? You know, you made it, or you're glad to be home, or what?
The first thought was this: I just can't wait to go chill, get out these boots and camouflage, and just be normal, live a normal life, I guess.
When you saw your dad there, how did you feel?
Happy.
Happy.
Because it's like, you know, somebody who you can relate. In that sense.
Oh, in that sense, okay. Now, well, let's kind of fast forward. Now that you're out of the military and you're working with kids and you're doing all these wonderful things, how do you apply some of your military experience with working with some of the kids?
Patience, how to direct people. You got to, like, step by step and, like, you know, explain and, like, restraint and... Working with kids in the military, I mean, there's not really so much transfer ability, you know, it's a whole nother animal. But this small things, like how you would direct a group of people.
Now, how did you get into arts and crafts?
Arts and crafts.
Because that's what you do, right? At the school. So how did you become an arts and crafts person?
You?
Well, you was around me, but you never did anything. I mean, you did a few, but not to the point where you're at now. How did that happen?
Watching? So I know how to cook. Just look and you remember.
Oh, okay. So is there anything else you want to tell me about the military that I need to know, or just want to share some stories about it?
I share a story of how I thought I was going to die. It was one night we got a call saying that a house was rigged to explode. And so, me being me, I volunteered to go. And then we go there, and then I take a... For some reason, they wanted me to go. I was like, I'll go first. I'm always the point man. I'm always first. And I always felt obligated to be first, because that was my position. It's like, if anything were to happen, I'm always up front. And I know I'm used to that feeling, and I know how to handle myself. Like, I'm always prepared kind of thing. And so... we load up in these trucks, and then I have a shotgun. I have a shotgun. And we load in the back. And
you had a shotgun? What about the military rifle?
Because it's a house, so I'm first, so I have to have a shotgun.
Like a two-barrel shotgun?
No, it's a single barrel.
Shotgun. In the military?
They have shotguns in there.
Oh, okay.
And so we're back in the truck, and it's raining, and it's cold, and I don't know why I second-guessed myself. I was like, I don't know why I'm volunteering, because this house is about to explode, and we're walking through, and it's... You feel more comfortable. It's in an unfamiliar part of town. Like, I'm so used to the city where I've been that when you go to somewhere new, it's throwing you off whack. I don't know. You're used to that window being there, and you're used to this window being there, and you know where to always look. But when it's in a new place, it's like, I didn't see that window there. I didn't see that crack. I just passed kind of thing. And so we're all walking up, and we surround this house, and then we have to open this gate, and it's me and a guy named Rustad. And we're kneeling in front of the gate, and then, okay, he's like, you ready? And I look behind myself for a second. Everybody's ducking behind walls, and it's just me and him sitting there. And so we kick open the gate, and no explosion went off. I don't know why Dad wanted us to open the door. It didn't make any sense. So we open the door. We kick in the door, and it's just a family in there.
What was the house
like? It was a false information.
Oh.
I guess there was wires and stuff hanging around, but I guess that's why they called it in, because they saw wires. But they never saw an actual bomb.
Any other stories you want to tell your mom while you was over there?
There's one time where we disabled a bomb. No, I know Iraqis came, and they came with the Iraqi police. They came with they call them 155, which is basically an artillery shell. It's roughly about, if you hold it your forearm, it's about from like fingertip to elbow.
Okay.
And it's pretty big. And it's like coffee can in diameter.
Okay.
And they come up and it's bouncing in the back of their truck, like bang, bang, bang. And we were up for 24 hours and they parked next to my truck and we all had to get out. And then he picks it up and I'm the interpreter. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting out my notepad and then I have my arms like this. And all of a sudden I see it and he drops it in my arms and I'm carrying this thing. Mm-hmm. And I tell him, I give it back to him. And they just drive off and it's just bobbing in the back of the truck and they just disarmed it. Still had the cell phone attached to it and everything.
Wow, yeah. Wow, wow. Mm. Now let me ask you, how's the animals? I know you're an animal lover. How are the dogs? And
horrible.
Are they? What is that?
Because it's unregulated breeding, so they can breed on their own. And they, just like, have you ever seen Gangs of New York?
Gangs?
Of New York?
No.
Well, it's
the
like,
movie?
Yeah. Well, picture any kind of street gang, just one gang here, and they're pack animals. So you have packs and packs upon packs of dogs constantly fighting and constantly barking. And constantly running up and down the streets. And at nighttime, it's the worst because you're trying to be sneaky. But dogs, you know, their senses, so they're barking at you when you're trying to hide.
Oh. What happened when you had that, when you killed that guy? What happened in that story when that guy?
Okay, so for that story, it was...
Because I know you was on top of that building.
No, I was on a truck.
No, you was on top of the building when you called me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
so what happened?
Okay, for that one... This is in Fallujah, and our base was next to a river. It's not the Euphrates River. That was my first deployment, but it was just next to a main river. Mm-hmm. And we used to constantly get rocket attacks. They would drop rockets in our base. Mm-hmm. And our base is pretty small. I'm trying to do a good size comparison. Like your average grocery store.
Okay.
Like you walk into a Vons and you empty everything out. Mm-hmm. But inside that base, there's military trucks and there's... shower, so it fills up pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so they used to launch rockets, and every time they used it would hit something all the time. Mm-hmm. You can't really miss anything. Mm-hmm. So finally we got a flamethrower and we burned down all the bushes around it so we can see the whole river. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that night, previous to that night, we were working with the Seabees. Mm-hmm. Which are basically Navy construction crews. Mm-hmm. And we were helping connect the water line from that river. Mm-hmm. To across the main MSR, main supply route, where most of the trucks drive. Mm-hmm. Like all, like, you know, just like a Highway 69, where all the big rigs drive. They have that kind of stuff in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And so we were digging around the area, but unknown to us that we were maybe about a foot away from a weapons cache where they keep all their rifles and all the stuff they used to bomb us. And so that night, we saw on our, there's a lot of acronyms, a lot of towers from our GBOS tower, mm-hmm. which is basically a big tower that's like up in the sky, and it can pan 360, and it has night vision, and it has infrared, so you can see everything for miles. Mm-hmm. Even, like, you can see rabbits and bugs flying across the sky.
Really?
Uh-huh. Like little white specks.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, we see these guys digging up, and so our intention wasn't there. We don't roll up and just kill them, you know? Mm-hmm. So we get in our trucks, and I'm the first one, and I'm in a turret, which is basically sticking my head out the top of the truck, and I have the gun in front of me. And we drive up, and they... try to stay still, but we can see them. Mm-hmm. And then we surround them, and then we have dismounts, so basically people who get out the back of the truck, and we're all facing, well, not all of us facing, but I was facing towards those people. Mm-hmm. And they get out, and remember Alvarez? Mm-hmm. And a guy named Yul, and Yasuda, mm-hmm. They all get out, and they cross over to berm, and hear them like, put your weapons down, and hear, stop, please stop, and then you hear all the shootings start happening, you see them jump back over, mm-hmm. And then we just let them have it. Mm-hmm. Then turned to find out later, I think one was a school teacher and one was something else.
So what were they doing out there?
Digging up, trying to move all their weapons that they're hiding away from where we were digging.
Oh,
trying to move it, and we caught them off guard. Mm-hmm. And we tried to, okay, you're caught, but then they just started shooting at us.
Mm-hmm. So when that experience happened, how did you feel when they told you that someone had got killed and you were the one?
I knew, mm-hmm. But it's kind of, okay, it's part of the job. You can't accept it and move on.
Mm-hmm. So when
if you dwell on that, then what else, what good are you if you don't, you join infantry, you know what you could possibly do, and if you do it and you can't handle it, then what good are you? You know, what if the situation happens again, you just can't clam up.
Mm. Mm. So you was on top of the truck.
Yeah, it's like, picture my body as a periscope. It's just like a hole in the top. Mm-hmm. The gun's mounted to a bracket, and you can crank it like an old like Model T Ford, you know how it goes in circles like that? You can crank it like that, and it rotates 360. Or you can make it loose, and you can just grab two bars and turn it like that.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay. So is there anything else you want to tell me?
Other than that, I can tell you this random stories, this little funny things
that happen. So let me ask you this. How about the sunsets? Because I told you to look at the moon. While you were looking at the moon, I was looking at the moon and the sunset.
It's clear. You can see stars because it's less, it's more sparse countryside, so it's less, you know, pollution and less smog. Even though there has no smog regulations over there, everything's so spread out that you can see, you know, stars. Really? And you, like, you know, you can see like the, like you can see the galaxies, how like the big star clusters and how it's like purple on your Fraser River. You
the
can
constellations.
See
constellations. Wow.
No, no, not you can see constellations, but when you see like when galaxies kind of collide, when the stars and everything's so dense, you can see it's like a purple vapor. You can see it kind of moving across. It's like,
really?
It's stationary. You can see that.
Wow. Yeah. What about the sunsets?
Sunsets are good.
Were they good? I hate that I lost those sunsets. Well, I guess that's all the questions I have for you, son. Yeah. It was interesting. I never knew all that.
There's more.
Yes, I know. But I have to say this, and I want everybody to know this about you. I'm very proud of you.
Thank
you. You turn out to be a cool son. Very cool son, and I love you very much.
Thank you, Mom.